Hello and welcome back to Sport for Wrestling, the Go Home Show podcast. And today I'm delighted to be joined by two very special guests. It is the WWE NXT Tag Team Champions, Tyler Breeze and Fandango. How are you both?
Hello.
What's up, Big Mike? What's up?
And obviously, NXT on Wednesday night, we're going to see the Capital Wrestling Center. How are you feeling about that? It was this brand new venue that was revealed at TakeOver.
I think it looks pretty cool. It's a nice little throwback and kind of goes right along with what WWE is always doing, which is we're always evolving and we're always trying to find, especially in today's climate, what can we do? What can we, obviously we saw with everything coming out with the Thunderdome and stuff like that, it gets everybody's head thinking of, okay, well, what can we do now? So this is just kind of the next evolution in what we're doing. And I'm guessing if I was a betting man, it's probably not going to stop there. We're probably going to keep kind of rolling with, you know, hey, wait for the next thing. But for right now, I think it's awesome. I think it looks great.
And Fandango, how good is it to see some sort of fans back in wrestling arenas as well?
Oh, I'm excited, man. We were just talking earlier about how it's hard to get in, you know, to get really amped up for these matches with, you know, not a lot of noise out there. And a lot of what we do is, did the fans like it? Did they, you know, do they bite on that? So it's kind of, you know, it's like kind of like being a comedian where you go out and you do your shtick and the fans tell you if, you know, if it's good or not. So we've been kind of, we haven't had that over the last few months. So I'm excited to get back out there and, you know, get a little bit of noise coming in.
And obviously NXT, you both returned recently and it's absolutely stacked with talent. What makes NXT so special? Why does everyone love NXT?
I think it's a little different for everybody. I think, obviously NXT means a little different for me than it does for Dango. He was in it at a different time where it was essentially, you know, almost like game show style where it was a competition. I was one kind of when it evolved as a brand by itself. Totally different rosters, totally different climate, everything like that. And I know for me, that's kind of where I discovered, you know, what Tyler Breeze was essentially. And the fact that it kind of built, you know, into what it is today, and everybody is so loyal. Like we were gone for years. And the second that music hits or you pop up somewhere, people go nuts. And that nostalgia feeling is really cool. And really for only, you know, 2 or 3 years to get that, you know, oh my God, he's back kind of thing is very, very cool for me. So I know everything's a little different. But it kind of seems to have the same effect for everybody where, I was actually really excited for Dango to come down because he never got the chance to kind of work, when I was kind of, when NXT became what it is now in like 2014, 2015. So the first time that he came out, we came to the back and he literally went, oh my God, like this is awesome. And I think that's, I think that's the reason why people like coming back, why they want to come back, and why you have people like Finn and Ember and, you know, myself and Dango and everybody else going, man, I want to go work for NXT.
And then obviously on TakeOver 30 became number one contenders. And then on the 26th of August, you were crowned the new NXT Tag Team Championship. A question for you both, but starting with you, Fandango. What does it mean to win your first title in WWE after all the years of training, all the hard work, the injuries and stuff like that?
It was really emotional for me. I'm glad I get to do it with Breeze because, you know, he's been with me over 4 or 5 years now. He's been with me ups and downs, injuries. It's as corny as it sounds. It's just is if you keep working hard and stay consistent and pushing towards that a common goal, eventually it will pay off. And management sees that. And that's what happened with us. We just, you know, we got through a bunch of obstacles and I came back from another injury and then we pushed through and then, you know, we ended up getting it. We won. So it was great.
I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, how many times, like we've talked about being the almost guys several times where it's like, you know, we get right there and then we go away. Then we get right there, we go away. And they just, you never really kind of pull the trigger on it. And I think it's one of those things where, you know, we were singles competitors for a long time and, you know, same type of thing. You almost get there. You never quite get there. They say that like, it's lonely at the top kind of thing. Once you get there, it really isn't when you're in a tag team. So the fact that like Dango said, we got to do this together. And I think we've been a tag team for like 5 years now. And through a bunch of injuries and, you know, being on Raw, being on SmackDown, being on NXT, we've jumped around a lot and we've dealt with a lot of different stuff, and we've kind of even almost rebranded even to where what you see on the Fashion Files never really had kind of that killer instinct to it. Where now, you know, watch our matches and it's a very different, or at least you're seeing for the first time that exists with that personality as well. So it's kind of cool. It's I want to, like, it just makes everything worth it, essentially.
And obviously you've beat Imperium for the title. So I'm going to give the opportunity now, if you could face anyone, whether it be main roster, NXT or Legends, for a next title defense, who would it be and why?
I'd like to go with Undisputed Era. I've known those guys for years and I've never really gotten to go really hard in the ring with them. I think we had one or two matches with them, Breeze.
Yeah, but I think a couple, yeah.
But a little bit of history with those guys. I could definitely see us tearing the house down with them. Nice 30-minute match, but just about any tag team in the WWE, man.
And throwing it back to the start of your both careers, Tyler, I read in an interview you were talking about when you first met Fandango down in FCW. Can you talk about what your first impressions were of each other?
Well, so this is so funny. It's probably totally separate. So when I got to FCW, Dango was the man, essentially. He was like, obviously, you know, we are very similar, but also very different.
Especially I was like the Matthew McConaughey of developmental, you know,
a little bit.
I've been there like 15 years.
Yeah.
I'm the old guy, you know, like the old college guy showing up to the high school parties, you know.
But he was cool, man. He was cool. So like I ended up meeting him. Thought he was the coolest dude. I was literally like, this is what a professional wrestler is. Like this guy right here. He kind of, you know, I believe even at that time, I think he was already kind of on the main roster. So I wasn't really, you know, on the same brand as him. It wouldn't be until years later when finally I was kind of coming up. And then I think he said, like, we were always cool and everything, but he kind of said like, oh, I think we're going to be a tag team. And initially I did not want to be a tag team because I was kind of like liking what I was doing and I was kind of in the groove of everything and whatever. And as soon as we kind of saw what we could be together, that immediately went like, nope, I'm good. Like this is great. And we started off, even like our early stuff tagging together was very fun. And the second that we branched into doing, you know, some comedy stuff with R-Truth and Goldust, I believe, I was dying. Like everything we did, I was dying laughing. And everything that he said, I would just go like, where are you thinking of this stuff? Like, this is great. And that just kind of even got more and more as we did Fashion Files. We would literally just look at each other and burst out laughing. I go, what are we doing? Like, this is insane to me. And even now, like, as we come back here, I'm like, man, like these matches that we're having are fun. Like we are having fun. You know, the fact that we ended up getting tagged together, I was very dumb at the beginning for not wanting to do it, but I love that how it's all turned out.
Thought he had a lot of talent. He came up and started working with Ziggler, I think, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Then you stole my valet, Summer Rae, didn't you?
I did.
Didn't you steal her?
Yeah, she was with me.
So I was actually kind of happy that he did that. But no, that I think spring of 2016, we were coming back from a Europe tour, actually. And then somebody told me, hey, we're going to tag you up with Breeze. So I remember going up to him in catering and be like, hey, we're going to tag. And you're like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
And then we worked a little program with Goldust and Truth, right?
Do you remember? Cause before that, no, they were the first. I think that was how we got together, was with Goldust and Truth.
Well, I tagged with Goldust and you tagged with Truth, right?
Yeah.
And then
you
switched. We turned on him.
Yeah.
Just picking up on the point you mentioned about Fashion Files, before you started that, did you ever think it'd be so popular with the WWE universe?
I didn't.
Yeah.
Some weeks we'd get to TV and have these, like, you know, scripts. Like, essentially, I wasn't really a wrestler anymore. I was rehearsing lines every morning and trying to remember and just thinking, I don't know if this is really good or really bad, but we're going to make the best of it. But it was cool because it's like anything. The more you get in the ring, the better you get as a wrestler. And the more you get an opportunity to speak or cut promos, the better you're going to get at it. So at that time, Breeze and I were really cutting a lot of promos. So It was fun. We were getting really good at it. And I was surprised that a lot of outside media picked up some of the stuff we did. Like, what was it, Breeze? We did some of those.
Twin Peaks.
Got a ton of attention. Stuff like that, yeah.
So this whole thing started just because we were kind of, you know, off to the side, not really doing much. I think Dango had his either elbow scoped or knee scoped or something real quick. You were only out for like 2 or 3 weeks. So I said, hey, you want to do these like these little like .com kind of vignettes and stuff? And he said, yeah. And so like, we just kind of did them on our own. And then someone said, hey, why aren't these on SmackDown? I said, I don't know. Like, why aren't they? So they put them on there. And I would have never guessed in a million years that like they gained as much traction as they did, but they would hand us, you know, what we were going to do, or at least the idea of what it was, because little known fact about Dango, as much as he says he's looking over, you know, lines and everything else, he doesn't remember a whole lot of them, but everything, but everything he says is gold. So as long as this is what happens, we both start off here and he'll start veering off over here. And as long as I, you know, kind of ping pong him back to where we're supposed to be, the stuff that happens is why we start burst out. Yeah. We just start laughing because I don't know where it comes from, but it all just, the writing was really solid. And the comedic, I guess, chemistry of me and you and the random crap that you would say that was so
I personally feel like promos and any backstage, I think it's good to get where you need to get, but let a lot of it be organic. You know, I feel like for me, if I just try to remember a piece of paper with words on it, it's going to sound regurgitated. So I don't know. I try not to remember too much because I can't, but if we got to get our point across, I think it sounds more organic and real if we're just kind of having a conversation, you know.
I would always laugh too, because you would just,
that's like, my excuse for not having a memory. So
I would laugh, like we'd cut and we would all burst out laughing, and then Dango, like dead serious, would just be like, I don't know if that was good or not. And I was like, that was great. Like, how do you not know everybody in the room is laughing? How do you question this?
And then a final question from me for this interview. What is the best WWE theme music of all time?
The Brood.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
I don't know, like Godfather, Brood. There's Attitude Era had some really good stuff, man.
And then Tyler, what would you say was the best WWE theme music of all time?
I'd say Fandango's music. The
it caught on. It caught on.
I mean, it's most popular over here in the UK. People still chanting it at live events.
Yeah.
Oh man, I gotta go with like Randy Orton has had some awesome music, by the way. Like a couple different ones that like they just hit hard. Batista has had a really good one.
I actually like Randy's original music, which became Punk's music, Killswitch Engage, This Fire, just because I grew up in Massachusetts, up around there, and they're from up there. I actually liked that song before they even started using it on WWE TV.
Really?
Yeah, Punk's music, his old music.
Also, if I was going to go out on a limb and like have to narrow it down to one, I would have to say probably D-Generation X. That was the coolest music back in the day.
I always thought there was Rage Against the Machine when I was a kid, but it wasn't.
Oh, it was, dude, it was so cool. Like,
it when they played hit, it live.
Oh, my God. So, and the video, when it always had the video
when
with
it. Live? When, remember they did it live?
That was Mania 14. Mania 14.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Perfect. Thank you so much for this interview. It's been great to chat to you. Really good content from it. And
thanks, bro. Good seeing you, buddy.